Here we go. Mark chapter 6. Pick up, if you would, verse number 45. Bible says, and straightway he, that he is Jesus, constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. When he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when eve was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone was on the land. And he saw them, that would be the disciples, toiling in rowing. That word toiling is in despair. It's a tremendous word of energy. I mean, they weren't just out there having a good time. They were fighting for their lives. He saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch, that would be between 3 and 5 a.m. of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. They were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture. If you have a study Bible, your Bible might say that this passage of Scripture is also found in Matthew chapter 14, verse number 22, and it's also found in John chapter number 6. If you remember the ministry of the Lord Jesus, much of his ministry was around the Sea of Galilee. Much of his ministry took place in boats and took place around the water and so on. And such was the case here in this event. And you're very familiar with this. There's another passage in Mark chapter 4 where the disciples are once again in trouble in the sea. If you come over in verse number 35, it says, in the same day when evening's come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. They awake and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? They feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? You have two incidences here where the disciples are on the sea, two incidences where they're in the boat, two incidences where the Lord Jesus calms the storm and calms the sea. Two tremendous miracles happen here. One time, Jesus is already in the boat with them, and the other time, he's not with them. I've heard these passages preached time and time again about how to survive the storm, and I think there's merit in all of that. Don't misunderstand me. There's tremendous truths there about surviving the storm, about Jesus being in the boat with you. It's interesting, though, just because Jesus is in your boat doesn't mean you won't have storms, because he's in the boat here in chapter 4, and the storm is there upon him. But there's all kinds of application, but I think if we're not careful, sometimes we miss the point of what Jesus was doing here when he sent the disciples out into the sea. In Mark chapter number 6, the Lord Jesus has just finished a series of miracles, with one of the greatest ones there being the feeding of the 5,000. You know that miracle and how that he breaks the loaves and he breaks the fishes and they are sustained. It's after that miracle that the fame of Jesus is beginning to spread. John tells us the reason why Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the boat at this time, because John said in chapter 6, verse number 15, that the people would have taken him by force and made him a king. And it wasn't time for Jesus to be known in that manner. It wasn't time for them to take him by force. And Jesus can sense the emotion of the crowd. And so he's going to send his disciples away. It's interesting in verse number 45 that Jesus constrains his disciples, compels them or forces them to get into a ship when he knows there's going to be a storm. Sometimes the Lord Jesus will put you in the path of a storm. You must understand that. To live life to not understanding that sometimes it is the will of God for you to go through the storm or to suffer will be a very discouraging, defeating, and very unhappy way to live. I won't take you there, but if you were to go to the very last book, verse of 1 Peter chapter number 4, I think it is, it might be chapter 5, but one of the last verses there, Peter lets us know that there is, actually chapter 4 verse 19, there is a suffering that happens according to the will of God. And I mentioned that briefly this morning. So here we find the Lord Jesus. He's ministering. He's just done feeding the 5,000. The people are ready to come and take him by force, which was not his will. And so he's going to send the disciples away, and he constrains them to get in the boat. Now, they didn't want to leave the master. I'm sure they remembered last time they were on the sea what had happened. But here Jesus makes them go by themselves. And so he constrains his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side. At the end of verse number 45, he is sending the people away. When he had, verse 46, sent them away, you would think that it would say he went over to prepare for the disciples, but it says he departed into a mountain to pray. So while they're in the boat making their way across, the Lord Jesus is finding himself a quiet place away from them to pray. And much like that is today, we may not have the physical presence of the Lord Jesus as far as with us. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. What is he doing? Interceding for us. So the same way that the disciples were in this ship on the sea, void of the presence but involved in the intercession of Jesus Christ, is the same way you and I are in respect today. In verse number 47, the Bible says, "And when even was come," or you could write the word darkness. Matter of fact, I think Matthew uses the word darkness. "When the darkness was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone was on the land." So darkness is starting to come, and the ship begins to get in trouble, and the disciples are by themselves. They are without the physical presence of Jesus Christ. He is alone. He is praying. There's a distance between them. But I love verse number 48, and you ought to kind of make some notes in this verse. The Bible says, "And he saw them." Aren't you glad that our God is an all-seeing God? I promise you that neither distance nor darkness can prohibit the Lord Jesus from seeing us. So he's alone, and he's praying. The disciples are by themselves, and the storm is arising. And Jesus sees them suffering. He sees them toiling in rowing. He sees that the wind is contrary to them. He sees all things. And by the way, just let me remind you that Jesus Christ sees us when we're in the storm. Sometimes we just get this isolated feeling of distance or darkness. You need to be afraid of isolation. Let me tell you why you need to be afraid of isolation. The Bible says that the devil walketh this earth as a roaring what? Lion. Seeking whom he may do what? Devour. You ever watch the Animal Channel? I love to watch the Animal Channel because it's not Animal Channel. What's it called? Animal Planet. Yeah, Animal Planet. And National Geographic and all that. And you get the animals there and you see that pride of lions and they spot one weak little individual, the animal there. And usually it's the newborn. And you kind of feel bad for the newborn, but the way I help my conscience with that is the lions have newborns they have to feed, so it's okay if they kill that newborn. And so what they do is they try to create some kind of barrier between the mother and that newborn. I watched them one show, and I can't remember if it was the sharks or a different whale. They were going after these big blue whales, and what they had to try to do was divide the little whale from mama whale. And so there's this division here, and if they can get that little animal divided away from the herd or divided away from the pack, then the pride is able to get upon them. That's much like Satan will do to you. Satan will try to isolate you from the herd, or may I say from the church, or isolate you from faith in God's word, or isolate you in your feelings, or isolate you in your opinion, or isolate you in your vision. And if you're not careful, you'll almost get to the point where you'll come to church and you'll see everybody else is going one way, and you'll begin to think, well, I don't fit anymore, or I don't, this is this. And it's almost like you begin to feel isolated. Be very careful about the position of isolation. Jesus looked at Peter and Jesus said, Peter, I'm praying for you. Satan hath desire to sift you. And when you're being isolated like that, the devil is probably there in some manner trying to sift you. Here the disciples are isolated. They're away from the master, but the master still sees them toiling in rowing. And he sees them in their storm, and he sees them in their condition, and he's compassionate. And he's moved toward them. He does not appreciate their suffering as far as he's not looking for them to suffer, but he sees them toiling, and so he wants to go to them. The Bible says in about the fourth watch of the night, verse 48, he came unto them walking upon the sea and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit. Now, they had a belief there that they knew a lot of wrecks took place on that sea, and there was kind of a myth that you would see that evil spirit before the ship went down. And so they see this spirit walking, and they cry out, and they're afraid, for they all saw him. And you come to verse number 50, and they were troubled, and immediately he talked with them. Boy, I went real fast this morning, but I want to go back and catch this phrase. I'm glad that the Spirit of God and the Lord Jesus talked to me in my spirit. Man, in the middle of those storms of my life, no matter how dark it seems or no matter how distant I feel, I know that God sees me, He's moved in compassion to come to me, and He talks with me. The Bible says that He said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. Can I ask you a question? And it demands a simple answer, for it's a simple question. How does God speak to us today? Through His Word. Have you ever had the Word of God, empowered there by the Spirit of God, and God just reveal Himself to you through His Word? And when He's done revealing Himself to you, you're just like, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. There are times when I get up off my knees or get up from reading the Word of God and I just kind of sit there, and I've been all full of unrest going in, but in those moments I get up and I just say, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. By the way, we love to hear it's going to be okay. I've learned as a pastor, I don't always have all the answers for you. I used to think when I first was a pastor that if somebody came to see the pastor, I had to give them this big spiritual thing that would fix everything. Well, after about two or three times of not knowing what to say, I learned my lesson real fast. And now sometimes I just wrap my arms around people and I just say, we're going to trust the Lord and it's going to be okay. So here's the disciples. Now I'm setting all, my message is literally 2 minutes. This is all introduction. Here they are. They're going down. They're in this problem. Jesus is there praying. There's this distance and darkness, but it doesn't prohibit Him from seeing them. In His compassion, He makes His way to them, speaks to them, and they're encouraged. Verse 51, it says, and He went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. Now, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John or synoptic gospels, and they cover different areas and different things. The same thing from different approaches. Hold your hand here. Just go to Matthew chapter 14, and let me read to you Matthew's description of that moment when the wind ceased, so you will know that it's way more than that. Look at Matthew 14 and pick up, if you would, in verse number 22. Thank you for turning. I appreciate that. If you use an iPad or an iPod, would you just please bring one sheet of 8.5 by 11 of paper with you? So when I say turn, even though you're pushing button, just crinkle that thing so I feel good, would you? Just crinkle it up a little bit. I appreciate it. I don't have a problem with that. Just crinkle a little bit. Verse number 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway, I love that, he didn't let them be afraid for long. But straightway Jesus spake unto them. By the way, parentheses, kind of a little help. First thing you ought to do when you get afraid is go to God's word. Don't dilly-dally. Don't tarry. Do not let fear get a foothold. You get afraid, first place you go is to God's words. Straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." Now, some new information to the story. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." He said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand. By the way, any prayer for God to, or for Christ to save you will be immediately met. He caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Turn, if you would, to John chapter number 6. Go back to John. Not as many pages turning on John, okay. Come on, I want you to read it. John chapter 6. I won't read the whole thing, but I just want to show you what happened. John chapter 6. Keep your hand in Mark. We're going back. If you pick up in verse number 20, "But he saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship." I guess they did. They were about to drown, and there's Jesus. "Get in here, man." Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Pastor, does that say what I think it says? Yeah. They see Jesus, and he's about to pass them by, but they see him, and they cry out. And Jesus says, "It's me. Don't be afraid." Peter says, "Is it really you?" "Yeah, it's me. If it's really you, let me come out there." "Come on, Peter." So Peter gets out of the boat. Peter begins to walk. Looks at the waves. You've heard messages on that. Begins to sink. "Lord, save me." The Lord reaches out and saves him and brings him to the ship. He enters into the ship, and immediately the ship is at land. How did it get there? Immediately. No, Pastor. How did it get there? Immediately. No, I mean, how did it get there? I don't know. It just immediately got there. Do you believe that? It's in the book. We believe it. All right. Come back now to Mark. I want to show you. We're working up toward the message now. Verse 51. "And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves, beyond measure, and wondered." Now, we have already seen just a few chapters earlier that Jesus did something very similar to that. And yet, here they are in the same situation. Here they are again where the sea is calm. Here they are, they're taken to the shore. And yet there is this amazement beyond astonishment. And it says that they were amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. And in verse number 52, just seems odd. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was, what class? Hardened. Strange verse. Strange verse in the setting. So Jesus comes into the boat. They're amazed. And then Mark writes, but they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. The miracle of the loaves, yeah. Just a few verses earlier, Jesus had fed the feeding of the 5,000, which was probably more like 20,000, and revealed himself in a marvelous way. And here, Mark makes reference back to that to describe for us the problem the disciples had. The problem that the disciples had was that their heart was hardened. He's not necessarily beating them down for a disobedient heart. What he's saying is that they never considered the miracle, and because their heart was insensitive toward that. Jesus will always, always give us an opportunity to increase our faith and to demonstrate our faith. Pastor, what did they not consider about the miracle of the loaves? It's directly in reference to the fact in verse number 51 that they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. And Mark is saying they shouldn't have been amazed in themselves beyond measure, nor should they have been in a position of wondered. Had they forgot the miracle of the loaves? Pastor, make sense of this for me. Here it goes. Here's the message. 2 minutes. In the miracle of the loaves, Jesus had proven, A, he is God, B, he has all power. Somehow, the disciples forgot to consider who he is and the great power that he has. Sometimes in our lives, church, we get into positions and we're in the storm. And there are times that we forget to consider who Jesus Christ is and his great power in our lives. And so we fret and we toil and we get amazed, and we get a little bit fearful, and we get this or we get that. But if you would stop and think how much Jesus Christ has already revealed who he is and his power in our lives, I promise you, he has not changed, and he is worthy of our complete trust. Our complete trust. And the disciples, he gets in the boat, and they're just blown about beyond measure. Wow! And Mark says, he already showed who he was. Why didn't you forget to consider that? So we get into problems sometimes, and we get all shook up, and we get all dismayed, or we get all impressed when Jesus does something for us. But if we would stop and we would consider who he is, he, all authority and power exists with him, and what he has done in our lives, oh, my friends, we would not necessarily be blown out of our mind. We would lift our hands and worship and praise and say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for being our great God and our great Savior. What do you do tonight? I'm asking you, do you take time to consider who Christ is, what he's already done for you? Is everything almost overwhelming to you? And it's like, wow. I didn't know he could do this. But my friend, if he saved our soul, he can do anything. And it's that we don't spend time in considering the person of Christ. It's like we move on, okay? We checked, that got checked off the list. He did this, checked off the list. And we're so quick to just keep moving forward that we forget about the great things that God has done in our lives already. It will behoove you. It will strengthen you. It will secure you. It will bring you to a position of loving the Lord if we would learn to consider him often. And God's people said. That's what they were doing. He was saying they considered not the miracle of the loaves. What did they not consider? That Jesus Christ had all power and all authority. He was able to care for them the way he's able to care, the same way he's able to care for us. And he is worthy of our trust. Do you have a problem or a need this week? Say, Pastor, I'm facing something right now, and I'm facing this storm or this difficulty. I'm facing this problem at work. I'm facing this problem in my family, my finances, and my health. I'm facing all of these issues. Well, instead of having this wait and see or I hope so mentality, go home tonight, get you a piece of paper, and begin to write everything you believe about Jesus Christ on that paper. And then begin to write the things he's done for you in the past. And then when you get down to the bottom of that, write this, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And see if you don't enjoy your week trusting the Lord. Let's pray, shall we?